for your stretches. I will say a word, and then the three of you need to give a one or a pithy response to the word. Are you ready?
I feel like I'm being set up.
That is always the case with Todd. Watch out for him. He will try to embarrass you.
We're going to start out. This is just kind of touching your toes. Easy, easy setup for you. Let's begin with an easy one. The word is Beth Moore.
That's two words.
Literalist. All right. Dr. MacArthur, Beth Moore.
How many words do I get?
You know, actually, and before you answer this, please think carefully this time, because last time you did a one-word association. Yeah, the guy wrote a book about it, and we don't want that.
I was thinking of the same word.
Okay.
Go home.
Well, I see we're warmed up. I dilly-dally.
There's no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher. Period. Paragraph. End of discussion.
So let me see if I can get a clarification on that. Got one. Phil, anything to add?
No, the word that comes to my mind is narcissistic. I think the first time I saw her, I thought, going back to the last session of what Mike said, this is what it looks like to preach yourself rather than Christ.
All right. And
she has said that. She said, I read the Bible and I try to find myself in the narrative. I put myself in the narrative. And that is exactly what she does.
And this, by the way, Bodie Bauckham was supposed to be here, but I'll just let you know he's not here because he's weak, is what it is. He's weak and he wanted to rest. So, Mike... And by the way, dude, you killed it. That sermon was double. Beth Moore.
I heard John MacArthur say period, paragraph, end of story.
All right, one more and then we will get into our video clips.
I would just add one thing. Just because you have the skill to sell jewelry on the TV sales channel doesn't mean you should be preaching. There are people who have certain hawking skills, natural abilities to sell. They have energy and personality and all of that. That doesn't qualify you to preach.
Dr. MacArthur. We've done this a number of times, and I've asked you a number of questions on pretty broad-ranging issues. I'm perceiving this is actually troubling you.
Profoundly troubles me because I think the church is caving in to women preachers. Just the other day, the same thing happened with Paula White. A whole bunch of leading evangelicals endorsed her new book. She's a heretic and a prosperity preacher, three times married, and What are they thinking? The Me Too movement, again, is the culture reclaiming ground in the church. When the leaders of evangelicalism roll over for women preachers, the feminists have really won the battle. The primary effort in feminism is not equality. They don't want equality. That's why 99% of plumbers are men. They don't want equal power to be a plumber. They want to be senators, preachers, congressmen, president, the power structure in a university. They want power, not equality. And this is the highest location they can ascend to that power in the evangelical church and overturn what is clearly scriptural. So I think this is feminism gone to church. This is why we can't let the culture exegete the Bible. And I need to add a footnote. When the Southern Baptists met in June, and they passed Resolution 9, and they said intersectionality and critical theory are useful tools in interpreting the Bible, that was a watershed moment for that entire movement. Because if the culture has the right to interpret the Bible, they will interpret the Bible and liberalism will take over. And this is an evidence that they are allowing the culture to interpret the scripture. A couple weeks after that, there was a panel discussion of Southern Baptist leaders who said there should never be another translation committee without a Latino, an African American, and a woman on it. Translation of the Bible? How about somebody who knows Greek and Hebrew? So, I mean, this is not a minor issue. When you literally overturn the clear teaching of Scripture to empower people who want power, you have given up biblical authority. This is not a small issue.
People would say, no, that it's not our intention specifically after the convention of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is not about egalitarianism. This is maybe perhaps a soft complementarianism. First of all, is there such a thing as soft complementarianism?
Well, I don't know about terms. I just know women are not allowed to preach.
All right. Do you think that is the direction that the SBC is headed in?
Oh, it's more than the direction. It was a plunge headlong. But it's not just that. You can see it in other things that they're tolerant of. I guess in some ways it's remarkable they lasted as long as they did when all the other denominations have been gone 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And they held on to inerrancy and they held on to a legitimate hermeneutic. But when you decide that the culture can interpret the scripture and you need cultural cues to translate the Bible, the horse is out of the barn.
Do you believe that on that issue, it is, can the horse be returned to the barn?
It's not likely because that is the result of a democratic decision. They voted on that, right? And the majority voted that external cultural cues are useful tools in interpreting the Bible. That's the fruit of inadequate teaching at a core level, at a foundational level.
Welcome to the show. Today we're going to kick off with some controversy. John MacArthur has caused quite a stir with his recent comments about Beth Moore. John was speaking at an event that was honoring his 50 years of ministry when the male panelists were asked to play a word association game. Well, the word given to John were Beth Moore, and he answered with just two words, go home.
Sounds of laughter and applause were heard in response during a recording of the conference, which is now trending online. The panel of men went on to say things like, quote, the word that comes to my mind is narcissistic, or here's another, there's no case for a woman preacher, period, end of discussion. And just because you have the skills to sell jewelry on the TV sales channel doesn't mean you should be preaching.
Well, here's part of the response. Current SBC, Southern Baptist Convention President, J.D. Greer tweeted, Beth Moore is welcome in our home anytime. Many others offered support of Beth on social media. Author and speaker Annie Downs tweeted, when I hear the words Beth Moore, I think Jesus-loving trailblazer. Ben Higgins from the Bachelor franchise tweeted, my walk with Jesus has been immeasurably shaped by Beth Moore. Thank you, Beth, for the work and efforts you put into sharing the love of Jesus. I will listen to you and learn from you for as long as you continue teaching. And singer-songwriter Nicole Nordman said, man, that John MacArthur clip, dragging Beth Moore into misogyny at its finest. What a disappointing witness for a man whose influence has been so broad.
Well, Beth has responded in a pair of tweets saying she didn't surrender to a calling of man when she was 18 years old. Rather, she surrendered to a calling of God, adding, it never occurs to me for a second to not fulfill it. I will follow Jesus and Jesus alone all the way home. And in another tweet, she says, you don't have to let me serve you. That gets to be your choice. Whether or not I serve Jesus is not up to you.
Wow.
So there you have it.
Let me weigh into this, and I fully recognize I'm an old white man, so you can take my comments with that. But here's what's going on with Beth Moore. She is part of the Southern Baptist Convention. She has voluntarily agreed not to be a pastor based on the doctrine of that convention and in the church she goes to. it is headed, the lead pastor is her son-in-law. She says specifically in her ministry that she is a teacher of women. She doesn't try to have authority over men. And so she is trying her best to live within the guidelines of the scripture that John MacArthur quoted from Timothy. And so to have him say, well, you need to go home, I'm sorry, just doctrinally, that doesn't make any sense to me, given how Beth Moore has voluntarily limited herself to the theological position of the Southern Baptists. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, is this the same group that invited Ann Graham Lotz to speak to their group, and then they all stood up and turned their chairs and their backs to her?
Well, not all of them.
Many.
a group. And just, you know, I've got to weigh in on the subject of women being involved in ministry, and you can slice and dice the semantics of it, but there are three women in the New Testament that I think we all need to pay attention to. One is Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Who does Jesus appear to first? Her. He appears to a woman, and then he gives her a specific instruction. Go and tell my disciples. So he instructs her to go tell men that he is raised from the dead. He had the full ability to do that on his own and clearly demonstrated that he did. But the first one he gave the good news to was a woman. And then the commandment, go and tell. So that's why the church calls her the apostle to the apostles. Then you get into Priscilla and Aquila, their ministry, the number of women who led sponsored churches in their own homes. But for me, the clincher is Phoebe. So the same apostle who wrote that verse in Timothy also wrote a verse in Romans talking about Phoebe being a deacon of the church, and then commending her to the church in Rome and saying she was the one who delivered the letter, which presumably meant she's the one who read the letter to the church. And then the commandment, not only should you pay attention to her, but you should provide for her financially. So it's asking the church to give donations to Phoebe's ministry and how effective she has been. So there's plenty of New Testament evidence of women actively involved in ministry, and I just don't get this, go home. No, that's not what Jesus told Mary Magdalene.
And the other element of this that I think was so disturbing was others on the panel saying things like, the word that came to mind for them was narcissistic, and I mean, it was just so unkind. That becomes a personal attack that has nothing to do with Scripture at all. So keep teaching.
I thought maybe I would share with you how glamorous I am, how glamorous the ministry is, because anyway, I taught last night and couldn't go to sleep, you know, for hours because you're wound up and you got to come home and wash some clothes and clean the kitchen, etc. And so then I ministered this morning on social media through a little devotional thread, and so now I'm still in my jammies. Yes, I am. And please notice something's going on there with my hair. I just thought I'd say hi to you. Just the real thing this morning. Bye-bye.
My buddy Bart just sent me a screenshot of a tweet stating, Beth Moore is preaching this morning. Everybody is invited. It involved covering abuses and misuses of power, shepherds guarding other shepherds instead of guarding the sheep. That tweet was from Andy Stanley.
Well. And then frankly, I think the other question that women are asking is, would that we had devoted as much attention as we have to whether women can preach to the question of how qualified the men are that are preaching.
Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. You have to get a grip on yourself, because you're fighting against your own fallenness. And your own fallenness would cause you to want to overthrow the order of your own marriage, authority and submission. You are in the church as women, it says, to keep silent in the churches. What do you mean, keep silent? Not hard to understand, is it? You don't say anything. He's used that already twice in this chapter, once back in verse 28, in the case of someone speaking in a tongue or language. Verse 28, if there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church. That means exactly what it says. He is not to speak. In verse 30, where you have several preachers and people rendering judgment on them, if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. You can't have chaos with all kinds of people speaking at the same time. Somebody has to be silent while someone else speaks. So this is talking about actual silence in the church. So women are to keep silent in the church. They are not permitted to speak. And then verse 35, the last half of the verse, it's actually disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. Now, this is from the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, with a command from God forbidding women everywhere and always to speak or preach in any church. So that's the answer to the question. We could close the book and go home. That's it. It's an absolute prohibition. They are not permitted to speak in the church.